Of the Bible around here at Calvary Chapel. We arrived at Proverbs chapter 22 this morning. If you'd like to turn there, Proverbs chapter 22. The ushers are going to walk down the aisle for just a moment. They have in hand Bibles. If you're in need of one that you might study with us, just raise your hand. They will pass the Bible over to you. If you need it to keep, it's yours. There's no charge for it, of course. If you're just borrowing it for this morning, drop it off on the way out. But if you need one or you know somebody needs one, pass it on to them. And for all of us, Proverbs chapter 22. The Bibles are continuing to be passed out. Just want to mention that. We do gather on Sunday nights, 6 o'clock here, Lord willing, and we do travel through the Bible. Sunday evenings are given over to going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. If you want to dig deeper and just get a little more than the morning, the time we'll be able to give to you, come out and join us tonight as we travel through the Bible together. But for this morning, Proverbs 22, we'll be starting in verse 17. Proverbs 22, 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Before I had the privilege of coming here to Calvary Chapel El Cajon, I served for a number of years in the ministry under a man that I consider to be one of my two spiritual fathers. And though it was not original to him, this man would often remind us from time to time of something that, again, you've heard many times, but I want to start there this morning, and that is, in God's design, if you were to consider your head, you will notice that God has given you two of these and one of these. And as he would often remind us, there's a reason why you have two of these and one of these. That's a pretty good ratio of how often you should use them, listening at least twice as much as we speak. That point lines up perfectly with our study this morning in particular, and also with just a theme, a recurring theme in the book of Proverbs. Hearing, listening, heeding. We are a people who greatly lack wisdom. I did not say we lack information. We live in an information age, and thanks to the computer and everything else, we are bombarded with information. But even though we might be full of information, that does not mean we have or understand or use godly wisdom. There's a difference. The book of Proverbs is how to get. It's all about how to get God's wisdom. Wisdom for this life's journey. The wisdom that he knows that we need. And he's trying to impart to us. Leave your bulletin or your Bible marker right here in Proverbs 22. And go back to chapter 1 for just a moment. I want to remind us of something. Go back to chapter 1 of this book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then here we read the purpose why God has given us this book. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So here we have the stated purpose, to gain, to understand, to have wisdom and instruction, godly wisdom and all, to perceive the words of understanding. So in the very get-go, in the beginning here of Proverbs, we have the goal and the need that's in us, but that goal is trying to accomplish. We need to gain wisdom, God's wisdom. But before we go back to our passage for this morning, notice something here in these opening verses of Proverbs. It talks about our need, that we need to know wisdom and instruction, but it points to a key part of this process, something that is our part of this, that if this is going to happen, this is going to take place. And it's down in verse 5, the first part of verse 5, where it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And there it is again. The need to learn how to really use these things on the side of our head. The wise man will hear and increase learning. As we're going to see in just a moment, this involves a certain kind of hearing. Go back now to our verse 17 of chapter 22. This is our focus verse for this morning, Proverbs 22:17. I put it up on the overhead for us to kind of consider. Where the Lord says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. You see, there's no shortage of it in terms of God offering it. God's wisdom is right there, His path, His leading, His will. But the weak link is us. And so there's this call, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. I've called our time together based on this passage, apply your heart. We're going to see it involves a certain kind of hearing that God is calling us to. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that as we gather, we have the assurance that even though you know us, you love us. And because you do know us, you know our struggles. You know, we come in here with, Lord, some of us needing encouragement, some of our lives just needing a comfort, some of us needing a little boot, an exhortation, some conviction. Whatever it might be, Lord, when it's from you, we know it's what we need and it's what's best. Lord, help us. Take away the distractions, Lord, and help us to hear what you would say. Knowing, Lord, that that is a big part of this whole thing. Hearing. Hearing the way you've designed it. Hearing that results in change. Lord, show us. Lead us. Help us understand in a deeper way how to really hear what you're saying to us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all we're about to consider. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we dive into our text, remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I refer to that verse because while our text this morning here in Proverbs 22, while our text is directly referring to these Proverbs, when it calls to what we should, these calls to listen and apply this knowledge and all, these words of the wise, while it directly is referring to the Proverbs, so might these truths be applied to all of God's Word. Look at it again with me. Keeping in view of all of God's Word, keeping in mind that's all inspired by Him and it's for our correction, our reproof, our doctrine, is for that we might be complete. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, hear the whole Word of God. And apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them, keep that whole word of God within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you, have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? See how awesome this is, how it applies to the whole word, really? That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. Has God not written to us excellent things in His Word? Have His words not lead us to having trust in the author of the Word? Those who have trusted in Him, have we not found out the certainty of the words of truth, the assurance that it is indeed God's Word, and we can build a life, it is a rock to build our life upon? Would you be wise? What are you really about each day? What sets the agenda? What determines your decisions? What you've learned along the way from others, what others are doing, what the world offers, what determines? Well, if you reach the point where you're here today as representing the fact that, hey, I know I need this. I need God's wisdom. I need His path for my life. Then there's a couple of things that'll bring that about. First of all, if you would be wise, if you would be wise in the things of God, there's a first step. It's basic, but every person must do it. It's the linchpin on which everything else swings, so to speak. The first step towards godly wisdom is a saving faith in Jesus. A moment ago, I read out of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 about how all Scripture is given by God and has His purpose of making us complete and all in Him. Well, the verses right before that, verses 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy 3 say this. Just listen. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. First and foremost, the first step, if you would be wise, the purpose of Scriptures is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There is a goal, and that first goal, that first thing that has to take place is, if I'm going to gain God's wisdom, I must be wise for salvation, meaning I must receive what Jesus did for me on the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, speaking about Jesus, it says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Paul spoke of Jesus in Colossians 2:3, saying, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying that a life in God's wisdom must start by having Jesus at the center of it. It's receiving Christ that opens the doorway to Him leading and guiding you. It's what ushers the Holy Spirit into your life to take up residence within you, that you might hear and do the will of God. If you've not done that, then that's where we could stop right now for you. Because all the rest of this won't apply unless you've taken that first step. I didn't say join Calvary Chapel or any other church. I didn't say give a bunch of money. I didn't say do a bunch of works. They will avail you nothing at the doorway of heaven. At the gate of heaven, there is a book. Your name must be written in there. Well, how does it get in there? By receiving what Christ did for you on the cross. The book of life. And our name needs to be recorded there. And there's only one way. You would be wise in the things of God? Start by taking that best step. Be wise. Understand that we're sinners, but we have a Savior. And we can know Him. If you haven't done that, start there for salvation and start there for God's wisdom. Have you done that? I suspect majority of us have. Then what's next? In this goal of gaining God's wisdom for our lives, what's next? Well, there may be a number of things that characterize wise people. People are wise in the Lord. But a key point that's in our text for this morning, a point that recurs throughout Proverbs, is this calling that we read in Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. Over and over again, God says, listen up. Give me your ear. Pay attention. Now, there's no shortage of things that we might be able to hear. But I mean, we're bombarded with competition for these ears of ours. All day long, there are stimulus to our ears, television and radio and television in our cars and cell phones on in your purse or on our hips, you know, or somewhere. Something always competing. You got music in the elevator, and you got everything. It's as if we don't dare have silence. And we're hearing these things off and on in different levels. But it's not just that kind of hearing. You see, you got to make a choice when it comes to what you're really... It's the kind of hearing that you make decisions by. It's the kind of hearing that guides a life. Notice the words that are used in Proverbs 22:17. First of all, it tells us to incline. It says, incline your ear. The word incline, as it's used there, is a word that means to lean that way, to bend in that direction. Now, you understand that. When the Lord says, incline your ear, it's kind of like when you go, you know, when you kind of bend over and you really want to listen up. I find myself doing that more and more lately, you know. Incline, it means really, really listen. Bend your ear. As it says right there, we might, in modern vernacular, say, tune in. Tune in, he says. Tune in to what I'm saying. I pointed out that there are all these competing things going on, you know, TV and radio. And even right now, in this room, There's old Western movies going on. There's some talk show going on. Probably some basketball game going on. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, you can't see them because we don't have the proper kind of receiver right now. But if I bring in a television in here with an antenna that will work through these walls, we could turn it on, and sure enough, there's John Wayne. Or there's that golf tournament, or whatever's going on. They're in here, but you need the right kind of receiver. There's radio waves going through here. But you don't know it until you get the radio. You get the tuner on, then all of a sudden you can receive it. And that same way God is speaking. But you got to tune in, is the idea. You got to decide, what am I going to tune the receiver of my heart, my life to? And so he's saying, incline my way, he says. Tune in to me. Secondly, not only did he says, incline your ear and what? Hear the words of the wise. The Hebrew word that's translated here in our English translation here, the Hebrew word is an important word. Literally, and I'll just read it out, it means to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention, comma, obedience. To hear intelligently, often with the implication, the intention of gaining our attention, with the implication of obedience. So, it's really listening, it's tuning into him with the goal of the intention that it's going to result in something. It won't be, okay, God, tell me what you want and I'll decide, or it's like a smorgasbord, I'll pick and choose what I want. But no, I'm going to tune in that I might do what you're going to say. It's a leaning his way to hear intelligently with attention and obedience. And thirdly, it says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. Apply your heart. And now we're getting down to a real key part of hearing God. The word heart here, again, I just pulled this straight up from the Strong's. You can pull it out, get out your dictionary, and look the same in the Hebrew there. But it's a word for heart that means the heart, also used very widely for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. Likewise, for the center of anything. That's the word there. Heart, also used for the feelings, the will, the intellect. What I'm saying is, as we often mention around here, the heart in the Bible is speaking to that core you. That seat of your choices, your will, your feelings, your motives and all. The real you inside of here, that's what it's talking about. It means the center of anything. In this case, the center of you. So put it together. God says, you have a need. You need me to guide you. You need to know me. You need to know my will for your life. You're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay, now here's what I want you to do. Incline your ear. Tune in to me. And hear, really hear, listen with the intention of doing what I say, and apply your heart. Let your will and your intellect and your feelings, the very you, apply it. Do it. If this wisdom, and indeed all of God's word, is going to be pleasant within you, if it's going to result in a trust being developed within you, like it says in verse 19, if there's going to be a certainty established, like verse 21, then there must be the kind of hearing that's going to result in a doing. James said it, many of us remember, James 1:22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So many people say, well, I go to church and I listen, but I don't get anything out of it. I read my Bible, don't get anything out of it. Well, what is it finding in you? If you only come with your head, you might go, oh, that was interesting. But it's not written just for the head. It's written for the heart. It's meant to, you know, we dig into the Word. Well, the Word's meant to dig into us. But what kind of soil, what kind of ground does it find when it comes to us? Are we inclining our ears and really listening, the kind of listening that applies it with our heart? Couple other words, sentences here, kind of look at verse 18, kind of drive that home. For it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. See, don't those, all that helps us see it. There's a doing here. We have a part in it. If his words can really have any result in our lives. There's so many things that compete for us. And so many would want you to follow them or do things their way. Be it your upbringing or your friends at work or school or whatever. But what's really going to get you where you need to be and where you really want to be? It's inclining your ear and hearing the words of the Lord and applying your heart to Him and the knowledge of Him and what He tells us. I'd like us all to turn to chapter 24 of Proverbs. Turn right for a couple chapters here. Chapter 24, starting in verse 30. I'd like us to consider a contrast that the Lord sets before us as we really kind of lay hold of this point this morning. We're in chapter 24 now, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. The one that God was using to record Proverbs says he went out for a walk. And he went by the field of this man that he winds up calling the lazy man. He calls him the man devoid of understanding. And he took a look at this field, and it's all overgrown with weeds and nettles, and the walls that were meant for protection are all broken down. And he says in verse 32, when I saw it, I considered it well. He paused. He looked around. He looked at this field. And he says, I looked on it, and I learned something. He said, I received instruction. I looked on this person's field, and it taught me a lesson. You see, this morning, while this passage has a temporal, material application, certainly a farmer who does not take care of his field will have no crops. He'll have a harvest of weeds, of course. But it's very much like a parable also, for it contains a deeper spiritual lesson. For if a neglected field is a sad sight, think how sad it is to have a neglected soul. To have a neglected walk with God. And I'm referring not right now to the unsaved person. This could be used in that way. But I'm referring right now to those of us who name the Lord. But perhaps this morning, truth be told, you're neglecting your walk with the Lord. And if you could get a vision of it, spiritually speaking, your walk would be a field with weeds. The walls broken down. Think of it. This one that's called the lazy one here, he has a field. Just as the believer has a relationship with the Lord of some nature. And in this field, the lazy man has so much potential. The field has a potential for a good crop, for nourishing the lazy one and his family. There's a potential for harvest here and refreshment and blessing materially. And so it is for in the spiritual realm. Each of us have the potential. We have the time. We have the giftings, and we all have them, the talents, the opportunities that have been given to us. And such is the life of this lazy one. All the potential is there. But what has happened? What's it tell us? What's happened? There are thorns and nettles where there should be fruit and grain, where there should be walls for protection to keep out the enemy and critters that'll come in and eat it up. The walls are all broken down. What happened? What got this field in this shape? Look at it again, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man, there it is. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. A sure formula for a farmer to have a horrible crop and a sure formula for us in our spiritual lives to do the same. there to be fruit in our in a farmer's field, or for there to be fruit in our lives, there's going to need to be some effort. Oh, I know that we're saved by grace. And we're told to rest in the Lord. And that's true when it comes to having any idea that you work your way to heaven or that salvation is through works. We're to rest in what He did on the cross. But resting in His grace and mercy doesn't mean that you fall asleep in your spiritual walk. There's a difference. If we're going to be wise in the Lord, if we're going to have fruit in our lives, if we're going to hear well done by the Lord, we got to put our hands to the plow, so to speak. See, the lazy man, where's his hands? They're folded on his lap to rest. There's no plow in the lazy one's hands. He's kicking back. He's doing nothing to invest in the kingdom of God. He's doing nothing to invest in his own spiritual life or the lives of others. He's saying, a little more sleep, a little more slumber. Let me coast a little bit. Again, if there's going to be fruit, we've got to be applying our heart. It's that kind of hearing and listening and applying of the heart. That's what's going to result in these lives. See, the lazy man doesn't do that. Thus, his field, his life is full of weeds. And if he happens to wake up, where so often he doesn't, he just slumbers the day through. But if he should wake up, he'd look outside the window and, oh, how did this happen? What happened? Why was my field so full of thorns and all? Do you know why his field is full of thorns and weeds? Because fields aren't neutral. If you have a garden at home or a yard, if you do nothing to it, what's going to happen? Pretty soon, weeds start cropping up. Things grow out there, you're starting to go, where'd that come from? Why? Because the ground isn't neutral. There are forces in it already at work. Seeds blown in, pollen or whatever, you know, seeds from the weeds and all, the wind blow them in. And the ground's not neutral. It has within it that which is going to produce weeds unless somebody does something. True for the literal earth and true for a spiritual life. You think you can coast as if life is neutral. Not the way it is. There are things that if we're not up and about, the things God would have to do, if our walls aren't strong and built up, if they're just knocked over and the enemy can come in, those influences will come in. If we leave our spiritual lives in neutral, you'll start going downhill. Woe to that person who thinks that that's the case with their children. Oh, I don't want to impose upon my children my beliefs. I'll wait till they're old enough to decide on their own and let them decide. As if it's neutral out there. As if the enemy goes, oh, okay, I'll leave your children alone until they decide. I won't put any influences in their life of evil. I won't put any bad... Beyond that, just the fact that in our hearts, we're born that way. You know, the world's going to go, oh, I won't expose them to anything negative. We'll let them decide later. Yeah, right. It's not a neutral deal. You better get out there in that yard and get those weeds down and get some good seeds going, or you're going to have a horrible crop. And the same for children, the same for us. Consider the contrast that these Proverbs set before us. Look first of all at the lazy man, the one that he calls the lazy man. What has his laziness got him? Let's work our way through it. First of all, what's it tell us? It tells us that his life is a field overgrown with these thorns. Thorns. You can't eat thorns. Well, I guess you could try. Not too nourishing. Nobody's sitting here saying, can't wait to get home to have a dish of thorns. You're trying to live with thorns in your spiritual life? And think of the farmer. His family comes up and goes, dear, the children are hungry. And the farmer goes, okay, well, let's go harvest some thorns. But do we do the same for our families? Here, family, I got thorns to offer you. This one simply has a field overgrown with thorns. Thorns that the Lord warned us against. Now, the cares of this world creep up like you know, he says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches are like thorns, and they come in, they choke out the good stuff. They choke out The plants, they choke out our spiritual lives. This man is coasted, he's slept spiritually, and he has a field of thorns. And it's a field covered with nettles, same idea. There's no nourishment there. There's no food for strength. There's no refreshment in this kind of a crop. It's a dried spiritual life. How'd I get here? Just like the farmer looks out and goes, how did my field get like this? The person looks out in their life and goes, how did I get in this place? Because you've been sleeping, you've been coasting. What else marks this person's spiritual existence? It says, this one's field, excuse me, their walls are broken down. Walls that were meant to keep out attacks and critters and things, all broken down. And our lives become like that. We're just fair game for the enemy in this world. It just comes in and we just wonder what's, and it wreaks havoc on us. We don't understand why. Because we've been having that model of a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Spiritually, I can coast. Hey, I'm saved. I got God's grace. I'll just coast on home. Not recognizing there's a life between here and there. There's a journey between here and there. There's a field. And it's not neutral. What else does it tell us? What does he gain for his laziness? It says, so shall poverty come like a prowler and need like an armed man. Of course you would lock the doors and bolt the windows if you knew a prowler was coming around. You'd install the alarm systems, whatever. But the lazy man loses sight of that and not going to touch me. And all of a sudden, his need is right in his face. His spiritual need. A prowler has come and brought poverty, spiritual poverty. Again, he's dry. He seems like he has nowhere to turn. His relationship with the Lord has gotten distant. And he's just not spiritually rich anymore. He's not rich in things of God. He's become a pauper because he was lazy. He slept a little more, slumbered a little more. But now go back to Proverbs 22:17. Let's look at the contrast here. Proverbs 22:17, where it speaks about the one that the author now calls the man who applies his heart. We have the lazy man and the one. Now we have the one who is the opposite. The one who applies his heart to what God has said. What has it gotten him? What does it tell us? First of all, it says he's finding God's word to be a pleasant thing. If it's only a head exercise, that's all it will be. But the one who tastes and sees that the Lord is good, he finds God's word to be a pleasant thing. The one who will apply his heart to God's word, to let it really work in his life, will learn to trust in the Lord. The one who stands and looks at the bridge might in his head say, yes, I acknowledge that bridge will probably hold me. But the one who walks out on the bridge says, I know it will hold me. That's the one who trusts, the one who applies his heart to what God has said. The one who's a doer, not just a hearer. He knows. That's right. What does it say? So that your trust may be in the Lord. I've said this so you might do it and know. Have a place of refuge. Have a place where you can trust. What else does it say? It says this one finds excellent things of counsel and knowledge. We all need leading. And there's no shortage of people and books and everything else telling us to go their way. But I need a sure foothold. I need these excellent things of counsels and knowledge. And that's what this one who applies their heart will discover. Along with that, he learns to have and he knows the certainty of the words of truth and he's able to pass them on. Able to give an answer when people ask, for what? Why the hope within you? Why are you different? How come you have a strength in this? How come you seem to have a peace when everybody else is losing their head? You're able to give answers with the words of truth because you know the certainty of the words of truth. Why? Because it's been of the heart. It's been of the life, not just the head. Not academic. But you did it, and then you discovered it, and you're able to pass it on. This morning, if the truth be told, which column would you be in? The lazy man, the description there, or the one who's applying their heart the Word of God? Are there weeds in your spiritual life? Don't answer out loud. It's between you and the Lord, but He does know. Don't dodge the bullet. Let God in His love speak to you this morning. How's your marriage really going? Truth be told, right now, would you have to wake up and look out the window at your field and say, hey, the field of my marriage is just full of thorns? Or maybe just the family relationship with the children, or extended family members, relatives, or co-workers, or other situations in your life. Would you have to admit, would you be willing to admit, if it's the truth, my spiritual walls are broken down? I feel like I've been prey to every single attack. It just mows me down left and right. I have no strength, no nourishment. My field is just harvesting this crop of weeds. Long time since I've had a time of refreshment or anything. Has spiritual poverty and need come in like a thief into your life? It is my awesome privilege today to remind you of there can be a change. That's why God speaks this. Our text doesn't say, are you the lazy man? Too bad, you're stuck. Hope you make it. No, He tells these things because He allows U-turns. Anybody glad that God allows U-turns? I sure am. And so He's calling you. If that's the shape of your field, He wants to come along beside you. He wants to help you. But first thing first, it's time to wake up. Have you been saying a little more sleep, a little more slumber, just a little folding of my hands to rest? And spiritually, the Lord in love this morning say, wake up. Come on, get up. Let's get back into that field. Begin to do that which He's pointing out here. Begin to incline your ear. Remember we said, really tune in. Begin to really hear with the intention of doing it. And apply your heart to my knowledge. This morning, you have heard. But what kind of hearing has it been? What will you do when you go out the door? Oh, that was kind of interesting. Or, yeah, he wasn't half bad today. Yeah, kind of interesting. And that's as far as it gets? Then that is not this kind of hearing. That kind of hearing will get us nowhere. That kind of hearing will get you a field of thorns. But would we leave here and say, you know what? I'm going to make that U-turn. I'm going to begin to seek and do and track with God and His Word. And I'm getting back and I'm going to wake up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get real with Jesus. And I'm going to start getting into the Word more and some prayer more. Not legalistically, but realizing I get my hands to plow again. I'm getting back into this field of my spiritual life. Because I want me and my family and all to have a good harvest here. And it's what He's called me to. Be wise is the call. Throughout Scripture, He says, listen. Listen. Listen to the kind of listening that changes you. Be a doer of the Word, He says. The call, incline your ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. What will our days find us doing? A little more sleep, a little more slumber? Or will He find us being about what He's called us to do? And therefore, being blessed. Let's stand. Worship team's going to close us in song together. You need to start at the very beginning. Wisdom starts by recognizing your need for Jesus and receiving Him. There'll be prayer parties available up front by the prayer room. Come get prayer and say, I need to begin there. I need to receive Christ for salvation, for eternal life, for forgiveness, and because I need to start receiving God's wisdom in my life. Come up and find a prayer partner. But for the rest of us, may I share this? I love a nap as much as this guy. Matter of fact, if all goes well today, there's one in my future. Or at least some kickback time. And there's a place for that. These bodies need rest. They're designed to get some sleep and rest and all. I'm not talking about that. But we're talking in the spiritual realm. Be careful. We're all in danger. We're all in danger of saying a little more sleep, a little more slumber. I can coast along. And pretty soon there's the weeds and there's the walls broken down. We wonder how we got there. Poverty finds us. Need finds us. Finds us with nothing. Be careful. The Lord's awesome good news is He wants you to do this. He'll come along beside you. His Spirit is there to aid you in it. He's simply saying, tune in. Walk in what I've called you to. Apply your heart. And you watch. You watch the harvest. You watch the blessing. You watch what he has. He knows our need. He's saying, here it is. Here's the answer. Really hear him. Really hear him. Lord, what an awesome thing that we can. That you, Lord, would call to us and that you've designed, Lord, that we might know you and walk in you. That we would have lives that are fields of fruit. Peace, joy, love. There'd be harvest. There'd be protection. There'd be that work of your Spirit in our lives, Lord. Us yielded and obedient. Lord, just thank you. Lord, for those that need to begin the journey today, those that need to come to you, would you speak to their hearts? Let it be a day of salvation, Lord. But for each of us who by your mercy you have touched our lives, help us, Lord. Shake us if need be. Wake us up, Lord. Get us out of our slumber. And may we be those who are eager and excited about each day walking with you and seeing what you got for us, knowing that it's the best. Lord, may each day find us inclining our ears, hearing your words, applying our heart to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.